Welcome to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Ain't another place that has got more bombast. Run past your mom, dad's listening to Tomcast. Talking everything that make you sad. We don't want that. We're here to make you smile. Put your mind at ease. Peace, love, and bloom, and always praise Keanu Reeves. This what we about. Get some weed and now. We'll talk until we can't no more, and then we peacing out. Alright, let's go. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Today, we continue Rebellion's Bloom, our coverage of The Bad Batch, Season 3. It continues, and we reach the halfway point in the season. Seven episodes before, seven episodes after. We're nice and meeting in the middle here. Season 3, Episode 8, titled Bad Territory. I'm Colton Robertson. I'm joined by Joseph George. What's up, homie?
Oh, what up, what up? Always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it is always a pleasure to have you. How you feeling fresh off of this one?
It's always nice just coming off a batch episode in the morning, just waking up and it having be the first thing you do, which is what I did. I just woke up new alarm app that wakes me up as I am waking up. So that helps. So I'm waking up better and I just put on batch right away. It's just no thought, no hesitation.
Throw it on.
And you know, I will say that maybe this episode is more apt for the 2 a.m. time or a later time of the day, just for what happens in the episode. But I'd much rather get it done in the morning, no matter what episode it is. So I don't know. This one was fun. A lot of cool, or just a Finnick episode, kind of. We got Finnick Hunter and Wrecker just actually, I don't know, getting to display some of their skills this episode, which I really, really liked. Like, Wrecker really came in clutch a lot of the time and was, you know, demolitions expert, you know, or whatever. So that's, you know, I'm the best. I thought it was actually it gave Hunter and Wrecker a time to shine and also a really cool character we get back for a little bit. Finnick, even though at the end, you know, she's always going to look out for herself and you know, I guess I don't know who she's talking to, but
Asajj Ventress
I was actually thinking that she was like talking to someone Empire-esque and being like, I'm gonna go for more money. You
she's
know,
talking
I'm gonna go
to someone. She's talking to someone in the path.
Someone
who the M count experiments directly affect. That's who I'm going with. I'm thinking she's talking to Asajj Ventress.
Was Asajj a target at one point and she escaped?
I'm assuming so. Yeah.
And then she Oh my God! That's how the path was created.
It could be. It could be.
The Empire is targeting people with M counts. Asajj, maybe. I don't know if she's the first, but maybe there's a group of people that escape. They form. You know, it's Quinlan, maybe, and Asajj, and maybe Keller and Beck. I don't know. Maybe, you know, just a few Jedi that are thrown in there, and they start the path.
I'm with you. I think that she is looking out for herself to a degree. I'd be willing to bet that there are members of the path who are paying people on the low that are like, hey, if you can lead them to us first, that would be lovely. You know?
What are the morals of the path? You're right. They're not going to be like the Jedi where they're like, oh, we have to be, you know, very by the book and everything. They might be like, well, if we just have to pay a shit ton of money to secure the safety of a Jedi, then they're gonna fuck it. Like they'll do it for sure. So
So I think they're giving the end a sinister flair, but I think it's gonna, and I mean, to be fair, Asajj Ventress has never been
a good guy, you know, like it will be kind of a,
yeah,
we're doing of assuming, I think, with assuming she's going to be good. She's shown a, you know, a clear, you know, kind of similar to Fennec. She looks out for herself. And if that includes looking out for, you know, a few others, force sensitives, you know, maybe, but, yeah. So I'm willing to bet the person who knows about the M count experiments and is willing to help. Mm. And she knows somebody, a former bounty hunter who is force sensitive and does all
okay.
the, I'm going to solid interest.
Thank
sure.
you. No, you're definitely reading this way, way more correctly. Cause I don't know. I guess I was like more angry at the end. I'm like, oh, come on. I'm like, man, like, you know, she's a bounty hunter and she's one of the best there is. That's just how they have to do it. You know, yeah. If it is that way, but I was kind of like, man, like you were seeming genuine, you know, at least. And maybe
there's
that's
a lot of stuff that I forgot happens for the viewer that doesn't happen for the batch. Like they don't know Nala Se hired Fennec Shand. They don't know that Nala Se was looking out for Omega when they hired Fennec Shand. They don't know that Fennec Shand actually wanted to help Omega. Like there was like a, they were like, we got her back, you know, and she's like, well, actually, I let her
yeah.
go. You
yeah.
know?
They did say the client. She just said the client.
Yeah. So they,
which was, I don't know, was kind of
nice
cool.
Little,
to, you know, it's not the client.
It's a baby. I yeah. want to see a baby.
Man, I don't know. Yeah, that isn't, that's exactly what happened in my mind. I heard the client, and I just heard that dude's voice instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just.
Werner Herzog.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. But no, I agree. I think that they paint the ending in a sinister light. And I think due to the fact that, I mean, we see flares of Asajj Ventress being a good guy, so to say, in season 5 of Clone Wars when she's holding it down for Ahsoka. You know, like Ahsoka needs help in the course on Underworld when she's on the run from the Jedi. And Asajj doesn't help her, but she doesn't get in her way, and you know, she kind of like lets her do her thing and tries to figure out, you know, so like I think they are painting it in a sinister light so that when Asajj Ventress shows up, we're a little like the casual like, viewer is a little bit more
like
oh shit, like she's
yeah,
a like, she was uh-oh. Count Dooku's apprentice, she was a Sith, you know, so like I think that they're painting it in a negative light for that, but I think ultimately they will reveal that she has the better intentions at heart.
So what's the last time that we saw Asajj on screen? Not like book wise,
yeah,
but just on
Clone Wars.
And what happened? Did she
she did not die in Clone Wars or anything.
I didn't think she died. Yeah, I was like, I didn't think
she
died.
She dies in the book. Sorry to spoil Dark Disciple.
It's okay.
Which whether or not they're sticking to that is interesting. I don't know so much. In that regard, I also haven't read Dark Disciple. That's just what I've heard.
Okay.
So let's see. The last appearance of Asajj Ventress. I want to say season 5 of Clone Wars. But.
Yeah. And was it on somewhat good terms though? Or was she like was she leaving sort of thing? Like I feel like I remember her like just kind of being like, I'm kind of done with this. Or was it not that way at all?
I remember it as being kind of done with it.
I don't know why, and I don't know how. I don't know. I don't remember exactly how, but that's all that's coming up in my mind. I try to remember it.
Trying to see.
Man, I'm looking at least at the Kiner tweet that we got. This one's
pretty on the nose.
Yeah, pretty clear here. They're loving the redacted box.
They've pulled the trigger on the redacted box every season, I feel like.
Love their alt text too. That's like a feature. Cliff Steele about to get chomped by Francis the Alligator, the gator who killed Bump. Unrelated, but y'all should watch Doom Patrol 2. I think you'd love it.
They also did the music for Doom Patrol.
There you go.
Yeah. Doom Patrol's really good, by the way. I watched the first couple seasons.
Doom, as in like game Doom?
It's a DC.
Like, okay. Because I was like, Doom is usually known for very, very good music. That'd be like great. That's, okay. Different. Wait, no. I think them. No, okay, different Doom. different Doom for sure than what I was thinking, but
yeah,
maybe
okay.
I check out Doom.
The last time we saw Ventures on screen was the end of the fifth season of Clone Wars. So she wasn't in season 6 or 7. She wasn't in Rebels. She was in a couple books in Dooku Jedi Lost and Dark Disciple. And whenever we see her next will be the first time since. Sorry about that little sidetrack there, but, regardless, I'm pretty sure that's who Fennec is talking to at the end. I think that makes the most sense. Fennec's got her head on her shoulders in a pretty morally sound way. I think that they try to make her seem sinister because I think she needs to appear sinister for the profession. You know, like she needs to seem.
It's just what they do. Like it's it's like is that Greedo?
It looks
that she's
a lot
talking
like him.
To.
Because
it could be.
So.
He's not dead yet.
No,
right?
no.
He's not dead, and it looked just like him. Fuck it, it's Greedo in my head. Like, yeah, why not?
The only reason that I'm like maybe not is that.
Oh wait, no, he's more blue, isn't he?
Well, he also speaks a different language.
Yeah.
He speaks Hattese to Han Solo, who speaks Basic.
Yeah, Greedo's, he's like a greenish. He's like a teal.
You're right. It looks a lot like Greedo. And I think that they wear a similar outfit. It could be Greedo. We know that that's the only bounty hunter of that.
Yeah, maybe just because we're in the Bad Batch, he's speaking English. You know, they're not like too concerned about what language he's speaking anymore. But, I don't know. I think it's just kind of funny that he kind of gets blown off by Finnick in the Bad Batch, and then later on he just gets just shot by Han. I think it's just kind of he's just only in Star Wars to kind of be at the table to get bitched at or like just thrown out, whether it's dead or alive.
That was a fun little cameo. You know, I'm pretty sure. That's who we're looking at there. We got another little return of one of our favorites.
Yeah.
Fee.
Oh man, I was so happy to hear her name pop up at first. I don't know who said it first, but it was like, "Oh, we're getting something from Fee." And I was like, "Oh, fuck yeah, we are." I'm like, "Yes,
Wrecker.
Yes." Yeah, hell yeah. And I was
Wrecker
like,
was like, "We got an incoming transmission."
Yeah. At
from
least you know.
Fee.
Just a hologram this episode. Hoping we can get her for real. Person. But it was at least nice. It's nice that she was back in the mix. That was awesome. And man, her mention of tech was awful brief. And awful quick.
It's been a while, you know.
Yeah.
If she was gonna be mourning tech, it would have been a while ago. You know, she's a fast moving.
And they're a happy people at Pabu. You know, it's like they mourn probably, but then I don't know. I feel like
also,
they just
things got cut short, you know. They ended before they started and
that's true. She wasn't like super attached to them.
Yeah, she wasn't in love. I mean, like she might have had a crush on him, but she wasn't in love with him or anything. It was
Yeah, she just liked his eyes, you know. Yes. It was
Well, and it was a good sign of like a It's a brilliant tactic on the writers, the Bad Batch, to give us something that we think we're building towards. And then fucking kill him.
And then kaboom. Dang.
Yeah, so that's... So it did suck, but I'm sure there was a point earlier on where Fee had a tougher time with that news. It's been several months now, you know? It's been over half a year, given what we know about the beginning of this season.
That's
so
true.
It's,
oh my god, the tally marks. I always forget that so much time actually passed.
Mm-hmm. So we're almost about 3/4 of a year past. 8 months, let's say. 9 months.
Damn, man. There was this one music moment. Ooh, and man, I can't believe I can't pinpoint what it was, but it was like Fennec was on screen. I know this. Or she was involved.
It was the transition to when they're on the ship.
I think so, because it looked cool and it
sounded
cool,
great. And it was like very brief. It was like,
whoa, cool like out of nowhere.
Flare.
I was like, whoa, man. Like, because even like the smoke, like the smoke was animated that they flew through. And it's just crazy that like we're at that level of animation now where I don't know.
I mean, this was gorgeous.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was incredible. And then that, I don't know what score that was, but it was like, I don't know. Was it kind of, did Finnick have a theme? Cause it seemed familiar. It seemed like I recognized it.
Did have a certain music, that went with her, but it's fascinating given that we met Finnick in The Mandalorian and she's been recurring in that. And then she was obviously a main supporting character in the Book of Boba Fett and how she and all that doesn't get an ounce of the character work she gets in like three episodes of The Bad Batch. It's incredible. Like three episodes of The Bad Batch and she is a more well-formed character than she ever was on screen. And clearly that's not Ming-Na Wen's fault. You know, she's fucking incredible at voicing this character and playing this character. Yeah. So like the live action side of things, I think her character kind of makes a perfect case for what the problem is in terms of the transition.
Yeah, from live you action are animation. 100% right, because this is doing way, way more to make me feel like Finnick Shan is a top of the game bounty hunter. Like this is what I feel like she should act like. And different, you know, she's past her prime, maybe in that time, but you know, she's
to a degree, you know,
but
when we
like,
meet her,
I don't know.
In The Mandalorian, Din goes, Finnick Shand, no deal. Nope. No fucking shot. You know,
I guess Cad Bane is old, but he's still like rocking it. It's like, yeah, I don't think you really ever lose your touch, you know.
Might lose a step, but that gun sound the same. You know what I'm saying?
They got experience. They've just been doing it for so long. They've never been killed. Yeah, she's just like that.
Well, and even beyond, and you're right. This is how you know, when it comes to Book of Boba Fett, obviously it's a little different. She feels indebted to Boba and she feels like she's subservient in that situation. But that doesn't mean she has to not be a character, you know?
Yeah. You know, I like, cause she was so steadfast in her own ways and so confident in herself, not to have at least, I don't know, a voice, like maybe just a more prominent voice on screen. It seems that maybe she's advising Boba off screen, you know, but we don't know. Like we don't really get.
Yeah, she gets a couple moments in the Book of Boba Fett where she says something like, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. And he's like, well, then fine, we'll do this. You know, like, she's like, all right, cool. I'm gonna go do this. So like, it's just kind of. She's just so one place to the next, to the next, to the next, and doing whatever she's kind of told to do, and just so you know, like that's why I think the Bad Batch is genuinely the best Finnick Shan stuff we have. I love her in this show, and I love the character. I wish we got a little bit more with her in live action, because you know when it's not to strictly critique the live action stuff, because I liked Finnick Shand even before she was in The Bad Batch. The Bad Batch is just kind of a cherry on top of showing how good of a character you can make her be. And I think that kind of ends up being like, oh, well, I wish we would have done a little more in live action than we did. But regardless.
Okay, so I guess at the end, whenever you said she's talking to Asajj, is that also the person that you think she's referring to that she tells Hunter and Wrecker, like, I might know someone who does know something like that. That's the same.
That's who I think she's talking about.
So she just got on her ship and then immediately talked to that person. She was like, yeah, I'm going to go drop off this body first.
You know, I said I might, and I think I'm going to go find that information. And then she hopped and she clearly knows the information. She's leading her to them, not them to her.
Said that she was going to drop off that body first. She was like, yeah, no, I'm going to drop off whoever. What was the, like?
Ilar.
Yeah, the praying mantis bug dude. Oh, my God. How like, quick and crawly. I mean, Finnick was right. He, she, is it a he? I'm
They.
I think she says he.
I think she says he.
But like, man, like Hunter, you know, just kind of walking up in there and, you know, he's checking out the, his little hut, whatever. And he's up top above him. But then like when they start going at it, he like goes in between his legs, you know, and like crawls around him. And like, it was like, ooh, like, okay. Like I love the little horror streaks they kind of have every creepy now and
crawler,
then.
Creepy crawler shit for sure. But I really loved the lighting and the animation in this episode. It was really fucking gorgeous. I loved the work in the bar, like the cantina shit that they were doing.
Yeah.
With like the purple and green lighting. And then obviously when we're out on the water, we get those like Apocalypse Now sort of vibes where they're, you know, they're cruising along the water and they got to go in and they got nothing but their eyes above it and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's just, and this isn't the first time that I think this, I believe this very show has had an Apocalypse Now influenced. Sort of, or no. I'm thinking of a comic book. It was a Star Wars comic book that had a certain Apocalypse Now streak. But I'm glad that this is played on that a little bit. You know, we're deep in the jungle. We're looking out for
the boats, dude. These boats, come on! Like it was. Oh, I want one so bad. I want to just go on one of these little boats, hover boat.
I love that this is like a shitty hover boat too. You know. Yeah.
10 for that, Finnick was like, you know, for that.
I mean, like, you can tell it's a piece of shit boat. You can tell, but like, it's
that's
way beyond
piece of shit.
That's
what the hell? That's their piece of shit. You know, that's like, dude, right now that'd go for like $20,000. An engine like that, dude?
Yeah.
No,
a hover
maybe like
boat,
maybe like $100,000. Like, actually, like, I don't know. But
it's revolutionary tech, you know.
That's true. It actually does not exist yet. Yeah. So I think it might go for billions of dollars. Now that I think, but in if you know, relatively, if the tech were to exist, I'd wager around like 10K right
now.
Put some
money down on this bad boy, you know. You know?
No, but. I did like the little bomb disarm, you know, Finnick being like, no, it'll give us the element of surprise. I'm like, okay, like at least it's that's a good enough reason to like disarm these things. And and then the man when Wrecker gotta like just wrestle the fuck like Steve Irwin the fuck out of these alligators.
There's
I was like,
shot of him on the boat where it's like he's lifting it above his head, like, oh dude, I fucking loved that.
Oh my god! And then he just slams that motherfucker down. I was like, hell yeah, Hunk! Like Wrecker, I was like, oh my god, I mean, and Hunter got like bitten by one and taken by one and no hesitation. Wrecker just leaps and just jumps on top of the head and just starts like wailing on him. I'm like, hell, like, Wrecker really.
It took a bit to get that alligator to separate from Hunter too. I mean, Hunter, it was so funny. He was just getting fucking flung around, bro. He was just like, fuck, goddamn, you know, I fucking loved it. But no, there was a lot to like about this episode, man. And that's not even, we're obviously talking the bulk of the episode. That's not even to mention the good stuff with Omega and Crosshair back on Pabu.
Man, I thought it might have been like going somewhere for real. Like I thought we were going to get the moment, you know, where like it clicked, but I'm glad that it is kind of maybe this.
I am
this
too. I'm
slow,
glad it's a slow burn.
Slow burn and maybe like, Crosshair just begins to meditate like on his own, and then like you imagine Wrecker and Hunter coming back, seeing Crosshair meditate, and they're like, what the fuck? What? And then like Crosshair will, and then like he might open his eyes and be like embarrassed at first. He might be like, oh, I don't know. And he's like, actually, it's like really helping. Or I think it's it'll be,
I have to do something, you know, like I gotta give something a shot, you know. And I liked the, we're taking a slow burn, not only with his healing, but with his opening up, you know, like,
Omega starting to meditate though. I think that's the important, I think like my mind is totally in, it's helping Crosshair. It's going to help him, his hand and everything. But like, maybe there's a moment where Omega is like focusing and then like Little Rock, you know, like rocks start to just float just a little bit or something. I don't know. You know, like, do we get a, like, her M count is incredibly high. We know now. So, like,
she's just never been trained. I think
her
that
force moment. Oh, Asajj. Okay. Maybe with Asajj in the game and Quinlan and well, I'm saying Quinlan is like he's just in here. But I think Asajj is like the only safe bet. But yeah. I don't know. I guess it's just like the stories that I've heard with Asajj.
Yeah, Dark Disciple is about stuff. Them.
So that's why I'm throwing Quinlan in there. But like maybe that's whenever they're like, hey, you're already meditating. Great. Maybe just try and lift that rock over there. See if you can do. I don't know. Maybe they're just like.
I don't think we get that far. I don't think we get that far. I'd be willing. I think that if there was going to be a moment like that with a force sensitive being, like,
it's just that her M count is high. It's not like a Sabine situation in which
you're the
worst I've ever seen, you know.
I think it's whatever. I'm saying I think it's more likely that we get the she's sitting there meditating and something budges rather than Asajj being like, whoa, I sense in you a great deal of the force or whatever, you know, like
maybe it's not rocks lifting, maybe it's like a someone speaks to her or she communicate. I don't know. Maybe she has an ability, you know, like Ahsoka has that kind of Cal Kestis. He can hear shit certain locations. Maybe Omega has something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. An ability or something of, I don't know, but I guess I've never thought of what her force moment would be. But now that like they've kind of just confirmed M count and thrown it all in here and Omega, I don't know if her M count is just naturally high or if it's just compatible with Palpatine, yeah, you know, or like whatever. That so that's still, I guess, up in the air. It's not maybe she has a high M count.
Well, they do say that she needs an M count.
It needs to match or exceed the source. So to match or exceed Palpatine?
Well, she's not mad. I don't think we're talking about Palpatine's blood that she was matching.
There's
with.
No way, right? Like, does she match Palpatine? You know? Like,
I'm imagining that we are not looking at, like, the blood vials that they're trying to match with. I don't think it's just Palpatine's blood. I don't think they're just drawing Palpatine's blood.
I don't know. Like, Anakin is basically like a pure force baby, and that's the only time the M counts have been just like off the charts. It's like even Master Yoda doesn't have this. And they're like, holy fuck, what is this? Maybe Omega is just a pure force baby, and like it is just like a, you know, an infinite level of M count. You know, it is, she is just the next.
Do we know? Do we actually know how high Palpatine's M count is? I'm like, the dark side is what gives him his power, not the M count. You know, like, he might not have a crazy high M count, you know, like,
this
he could
fair.
Just have an average M count and then the dark side fuels him, you know, so,
that's true. That's true. Okay.
If we were talking about matching and exceeding Vader, then I'd be like, okay, this is fucking insane.
But if your kind of idea of where Vader was supposed to be Omega and like this was Palpatine's plan all along, you know,
well,
obviously he's making
him.
Yeah.
You know, matches or exceeds. Well, okay. Exceeds, I would imagine, for Anakin. So like that's okay. And I don't know. I'm just trying to rationalize it a little bit. Like if it is Palpatine's blood. I don't think there's any reason to particularly believe he's got a ridiculously high M count. It's more the dark side that gives him his power than natural ability.
Kind of crazy how much they can really
do a lot here.
Shape, you know, not rewrite like Star Wars. It won't like change the movies,
but like refine shit, you know.
But I don't know. It'll be cool to watch it under that lens now, like to be like, oh shit, like maybe Anakin was Plan A, like holy fuck, and now Omega's in the mix. I don't know, it will be cool when this is all over to see what whatever we are building to. It seems that they're trying to connect everything and make sense of some things, and which is really cool.
I really like the idea of refining the ideas that George Lucas had for the Phantom Menace that didn't connect with audiences, you know, like the midichlorians, like M-counts, you know. Like, yeah. I like that we don't call them midichlorians anymore either. They're like, fuck it. You don't need to know all that.
Just a blood test that even like you could go get. It's just M-count, you know. It's like just you guys get blood tests. Yeah. Like, you probably have like an M count. There's probably, I don't know, there probably is a blood test that's called M count. There's like 50,000 of them out there.
Right.
It's,
no, but I appreciate that they're not using the extreme science fiction jargon that might be like, okay, what are we doing here?
The midichlorians surround and are in between everything and everything you've ever known. Yeah, I guess it would get a little,
because that's what they did in The Phantom Menace, and that was one of those things that didn't connect with audiences. It was adding a scientific component to the Force makes it seem a little, you know, like, and then
counterintuitive.
Yes, okay. And then Ahsoka kind of opening it up and being like, you don't need an M count, but having an M count helps, you know, like I think that's a good way to put it.
In a way it can kind of mesh, is like, yes, there is the scientific aspect of where you can detect a high M count. Yes, like you can do a test and some people just naturally do have a higher M count. But that just means that like their need, like the Force gate, you know, like the Force is responsible for their M count. It's not like, I don't know, it like Anakin is a Force baby. His M count is ridiculously high because the Force needed him to exist so he could do the things that he went on to do, sort of thing, you know. Maybe it's and that way it is still completely mystical and it's up to the writer, based, you know. That's at the end of the day, that's kind of what you need it to be. Is not that it's the Force and everything that is nice and that is the Star Wars way, but it needs to just be in a way where anything's up to the writer, so that it's. We can't expect anything. We can get anything we want. And the Force does that pretty easily. And it makes it beautiful, usually. Like, it's like, if you just follow the Force, I don't know, it's kind of, George laid out the formula, almost. Mm-hmm. It was like, just follow the Force, and maybe in real life, and we'll write something beautiful.
But, and we've talked about this several times. It's a wonderful, wonderful hack for writers. Anytime you need a coincidence, anytime there is something you feel is insurmountable, anytime you need something that is super convenient, the Force, Force works in mysterious ways, man.
Yeah.
But it's not used that way all the time, but it's nice to have that as a writer in case you need to fall back on it. And obviously I think you try the actual workarounds, you try to figure it out first, but if you can't, hey, the Force. Yeah. It happens. But I loved that scene between Omega and Crosshair. You know, I thought that was really fucking cute. They say what we've all been thinking the last couple of weeks, like, maybe it's not physical, AZ says.
Yeah.
Perhaps
we were right
is.
On that. I think we
it's in my head.
Yeah, I think we did guess that. We were like, maybe it's as simple as AZ checking them out and scanning them and being like, yeah, no, dog, you're clear.
I think we did expressly say that.
So that was cool to see that. And, you know, no, I wish he would have scanned his head and been like, oh, what's that in there, man? But, you know, we didn't get that quite yet. Maybe we will get there. Maybe whenever Hunter and Wrecker get back and he's all meditating and stuff, he's like, maybe they're like, well, let's do a brain scan. Let's see if your brain's all clear. I don't know. You know, maybe it's like, let's see if it is, if you're completely 100%.
I'd be willing to bet if anything, it's Crosshair who comes to that conclusion. Like, if shit's just not getting
like
better.
He's like, I know it's still in, like, he, like.
Or his shakes aren't getting better. He's working at everything, but he can't manage it. And then he's like, how about you do take a scan of my brain? Maybe there is something going on there. And maybe that's not the cause of it, but it would certainly be, you know, nice to find out.
I really hope we do get, like, because, man, it could have been right here. Like, AZ was right there, and I was like, I was, like, waiting for him just to, like, scan his head and be like, yo, like, this is still active, or, you know, whatever. Yeah,
didn't get a full workup, just the hand, just the hand, so.
Yep.
No, at least it wasn't like a full body scan that they just skipped out on the head for, you know, like they were like, we'll just do the hand for now. So I mean, I still see that in the cards. I mean, regardless, all it will do is just kind of clarify the past for them a bit, which would be nice, you know, but I think that the pressing issue more is just knowing that he's back and he's found his way back, even if he does have
a relationship.
Like that's good. So
maybe that's even better if he just actually can get better with it too. Like, and it is just on his own. Like, if you truly just like meditating is all you need. I don't know. Maybe that is all you needed. It did. Whenever they were, I did kind of take some breaths with them. It was nice. You know, it was nice to.
No, it's proven to. It's proven to be extremely beneficial.
Yeah. I think it makes sense, you know, like that makes sense to me. You're sitting there thinking about like healing and being better, you know, and like the placebo effect is a thing. If you take a sugar pill and think that it's going to do something, it has that effect sometimes. Like your brain is that powerful. So like, is it really that much of a stretch to be like, if you're thinking about getting better, that it will kind of have that effect? I don't know.
I don't think that that's I don't think that's such a stretch at all, you know. I think that
it's another muscle just like anything else, you know. You got to work it as well. There's exercise, and I think meditation is that's kind of like the marathon for your brain. Well, maybe not. That's kind of the opposite. Maybe it's more of like a slow pace,
a test. Like it's more like a marathon for the brain. But no, I'm with you though. Like I get what you're saying. Let's not undersell the difficulty of meditation though. It's not rest. It's
true. I have no idea. I've never actually done meditation. So
it's hard. I have no clue. Because you're not supposed you're saying, you know, you think about it, you're not supposed to think.
Oh. It's just brain clear your empty. Thoughts.
Yeah, brain empty. Don't think. Because you start thinking. You stop focusing, you know, like,
so it is just breathe. That is
supposed to have a mantra. You can focus on a specific set of words. And if that specific set of words is like, I will get better, I will heal. Like you're supposed to have sort of a repetitive thing that you focus and key in on, which is why a lot of the Jedi have, I'm one with the force and the force is with me. I'm one with the force.
Or om, like a om. Yes, it's just a focus. Yes. Okay. Wow. Hello. It is clicking.
So I mean, like I've tried it. It's so hard. It's something you practice at, you know, like
I guess that's why monks are like monk. Like that's why they have to like
your life to it. Yeah. Like it's a whole other ball game. Now, like, one of my favorite directors and one that is, extremely talented is David Lynch. And he's a huge advocate of transcendental meditation. He believes that with the help of transcendental meditation, we could find world peace, that if everyone did it, every problem would be solved. Like if everybody participated in the same activity of finding peace, believe it or not, peace would come. And I'm like, that's pretty sound. That's sound logic. You know, like I get what you're saying. That's the thing is that like, I think that it's just so hard to, it's hard to do and therein hard to believe in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People think that if they can't access that point, if they can't find that inner peace, then that inner peace must not exist.
Yeah, it's not as easy as going to the store, buying something and then having it work right away. It's not like 1, 2, 3, here you go. Mm-hmm. This is like, hey, you'll have to sit down and dedicate a lot of your time.
Yes, like it will take practice.
Get to anywhere. Yeah, that's,
and it's just like anything else, the more you practice, the easier it'll get, and the easier it gets, the less you'll even realize it's getting easier. It'll just kind of happen, just like anything else, you know, like it's just
look at what the Bad Batch is doing, man. Look at this. It look, man, I don't know, it is I just, it's incredible to me that people just dismiss this show. Like, mm-hmm. It boggles my mind, and it's so good. Like, the actual, you're right, like, Finnick coming back, and, like, the difference between this Finnick and live-action Finnick, it is not on the performer whatsoever.
No,
like,
I mean, that's how it's written.
The writing is just so much better, and she's given so much more to work with. And, like,
oh,
it's
for sure.
Like, oh, my God. It's, I don't know. This is... It's crazy how good it looks too. Like, just the level that we've reached in animation. I'm like,
beautiful, beautiful.
It's
3D animation.
We are only at episode 8, so I'm pretty confident that when the batch is over, I don't think there's a better, like, I don't know, man. It's Rebels might be overthrown. I think, like, for me, maybe easily, which is, like, hard to say. Like,
it is hard to say.
Batch has been, they've reached that point. It is there. There's no, like, technological advancements that they can really make now. It's just, like, you could tell that they've reached the point that they want to get to, and it's been banging the whole time. Like, yeah. I mean, from season one, it's been banging, and...
No, and I think that the restrictions upon, you know, being on network TV, I think that affected I think that affects Rebels. I think that they wanted to switch up the art style from Clone Wars, and I like the art style of Rebels. And I think that Rebels looks better than several seasons of the Clone Wars. But that style refined here in the Bad Batch is better looking than Rebels. So there's weight to it, you know. I think that
I guess story wise,
rewatched,
you know,
Rebels, we think that
I would have a different opinion. I think
it would be tough. It would be tough.
I have been too far removed maybe from Rebels. Yeah. Cause now that I am just even thinking of the characters, I'm like, maybe I spoke a little too soon or too quickly.
It's tough to say, you know, because I love the Bad Batch. These are my top two animated series, and frankly, top two of my top three favorite Star Wars TV shows.
Andor, Bad Batch, Rebels, dude. It's just like, it's just kind of how it is. And if I could pick single seasons, then like maybe Rebels wouldn't be third, but still, like it's kind of like that. Those are just the top three shows.
I would agree. I would agree. Yeah. You know, I think that, I think that the show's just got it figured out. You know, I think that it's definitely worthy of being considered alongside Rebels. It still boggles my mind that anybody thinks Clone Wars is the best show. Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Clone Wars season 7.
That single season
is really, really good, and it built, you know, a lot of build up for it, and like crazy arcs. Yeah, that season is awesome.
I'd argue one truly crazy arc and a couple solid arcs. The introduction to the Bad Batch. The second arc is Ahsoka with Trace and Rafa. And then they're like, here's Maul, Anakin, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, all that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love season 7, and I'm not, cause I love the Bad Batch and the Trace and Rafa arc. So I'm just saying that, like, as a single season, even, I don't think that you can necessarily go, well, this makes the show complete. You know, this makes it better than it's ever, and I think it is better than it ever was, but it doesn't
Maybe
make
it's the
it
only
that
animated show.
Show
that people have, like, actually watched.
You yes. Know?
Like, maybe just people haven't watched Rebels.
It happens to be the only show that was on when they were children.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Which, I mean, no, certainly not. I love the Clone Wars. I do. I think it's a actually, I don't love the Clone Wars. I like the Clone Wars. I think it's fun, but it's never been my favorite. And
there's just a lot that you gotta get through. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, there's just legitimate filler kind of in Clone Wars.
There are entire arcs of filler in the Clone Wars, which is fine. I think that they're good. I like
it's comfort. It's nice.
Well done. It's never like
oh, wow, this is outwardly bad. And I'm sure there are arcs that are outwardly bad that I'm just not remembering. But I mean, I think that when it comes to the Clone Wars, people can be blinded by nostalgia to a degree. And, you know, it's the one with Anakin and Obi-Wan. Which I get why that's a lot of people's favorite.
The one with the main hitters. Yeah.
Yeah. I get why that's a lot of
Grievous,
people's favorite.
Maul. I guess you get Maul and Rebels as well a little bit too. You know, the actual good ending for Maul in Rebels. So that, yeah, I guess there's that. But,
No, yeah, that's why I'm like, I tend to, I enjoy Clone Wars to be sure, but I just don't think narratively you can even come close to putting it on the same level as Rebels or the Bad Batch.
No. Yeah, we're living through a really good, I don't know. Like we've gotten all the Star Wars stuff. I wish I could have been alive a little bit earlier to like go through the prequels. You know, that would be more ideal, to actually be like old enough to be the target audience for the see it in the theater. I don't know. A little older. But I can't lie, I'm still a prequel baby. You know, I am I am there. I did grow up with them still.
Grew
so
up
I can't
on
be
them.
Too mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now I can't be too mad either. I really hope that they stick in this lane, though, that they don't like, it's the final season of Bad Batch and we'll have visions whenever other studios can do it. But
I don't think so. I think that we are,
The hiring of the animators. That's nice.
That gave me a little bit of hope. I was like, okay, Lucasfilm is actively hiring animators. And the Bad Batch is done. So that means that we are doing
shit. That's a good
shit.
Sign.
Hopefully it's not
sign.
Just Tales of the Jedi. I like Tales of the Jedi. Hopefully that's not it.
That's at least the safest bet.
I think they'll do Tales of the Jedi as long as they possibly can.
They have the assets.
Episodes. They're a total of like an hour altogether. That's easy, light work for Lucasfilm. So like, I think that we'll at least get that. I'm hoping that we get a lot more. I'm hoping that we switch the style up. I do. I like this style a lot. And I think that they've reached the top of the mountain with it, though.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, do something else now.
There's not anything else you can do. It looks as good as it can. There's like, it's almost looking live at like some wide shots of planets.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost, I know it's still animation, but I'm like, wow, like that's looking so good. Like it might as well be captured in camera, you know, like they might as well have built this whole set and everything. Like it looks that good, but.
Yeah, no, we got another solid episode under our belt. I enjoyed it a great deal. And I think that the rest of the season is only going to bear even more fruit. But before we get to talking about any of it, let's do the plugs. If you would, head to patreon.com/pennybloompod, where you'll find over 50 hours of exclusive content, all sorts of book reviews, comic book reviews, movie reviews, and the like. For $3 a month, you can support the podcast financially, which is huge because it costs me money and I don't make any off of it unless it's over there. Head to Twitter, follow at pennybloompod, follow on Instagram and TikTok at pennybloompodcast. Remember to leave a 5-star rate and review wherever you might be listening, and to download. If you're on YouTube, throw us a like. Throw us a like. That would be huge. Subscribe. And if you're not watching, you can. You can watch on YouTube. Look up Penny Bloom Podcast. You can watch us here. And it's a lot of fun. Like I said, another good episode. Nice and simple. I like a little one-off. I do. I think it's funny that people don't. I've also never understood that. I like one-offs. I think it's fun. It's
no,
nice
this one was
excursion.
Was great. Yeah, you get to check in with Finnick. Like this is like the kind of the point of animated shows. It's nice to have your main story and to follow your main quest. But man, I sure as shit love the side quests just as much. You know, I sometimes go on the side quests more to just get, I don't know, the side characters. We're in this universe. You're in Star Wars. You can go anywhere you want. And we're talking with Finnick. Now we might talk with Asajj and maybe Quinlan and a bunch of other, not a bunch of other Jedi, but you know, it just opens up a whole new world.
So it does.
Yeah, this
it
is
does.
uh I'm happy.
And it's all important. It all ends up coming back around, you know? Like, there hasn't been a episode that stood alone that hasn't come back around or didn't fulfill some purpose for a character or something. So, like, and I don't think those exist. Like, if there's truly an episode that does no character work, that doesn't advance the plot at all, that doesn't come back around, then you have a truly terrible episode of television. But
yeah, that's not what we got here. Not at all. I was feeling good. Maybe I wish we got that moment for Crosshair, like, clicking and everything, but that was just me wishing. Maybe I like the idea that it isn't so fast, that it is, that it might take some more work.
I'm still hoping the moment clicks while they're in the heat of a moment. I'm still looking for a, like a lock-in sort of.
He knows who he is for sure. He's, I like that. He knows, like, this is the moment. It has to happen now or never, you know, like leap of faith, like his sort of leap of faith moment, maybe.
Yeah, I can see that happening for sure. But what's the next episode called? We usually spend a little time with that.
The Harbinger.
Oh, Harbinger. That's right. Yeah, no telling what that means. No telling what that means. The arrival, the announcement, the sort of we're here. Could be Asajj. Could be the Harbinger of the Path or something like that. If it is the Path and they're introduced this early, there's no reason Omega is around anymore. Maybe
there's nothing the Empire, like the Empire doesn't. No, like the I'm trying to think of anything the Empire could do to be like, we're clamping down even harder, or like right now we're gonna. I don't know.
Don't think that's possible. Like they're full blown Empire.
There's nothing the Empire can really. It has to, because usually Harbinger, like it. I don't know. Usually it has a more negative connotation in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like it is usually for something bad. So that's just where I was going. Maybe,
And I mean, like, there's no telling. There's no telling, you know. I think that they're. I did not know what bad territory was. This makes
sense.
That's
true.
No.
Yeah. Maybe it is just getting involved with Asajj and whatever automatically gets Omega back on track. Like, she's trackable again, and the Empire knows where she is, so the chase is back on. So, I don't know. Maybe it's like they're bringing the pack. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I'm stretching now.
No, I mean, like, when it comes to the Path, like, the Path's introduction at this point would not be a bad idea. Omega still has a mission to fulfill, which is freeing the clones. That's now I know we're trying to figure out Omega's deal. Mm. Like, that's what the Bad Batch is focused on. But Omega is still focused on helping save clones after they figure that out so that they can do that. So, like, I think once that's done.
Totally. Oh my God. Like, that's all that Echo cares about as well. And Omega's going to be like, oh, because of Echo's death, now my mission is even clearer. You know, like, I must free these clones now. And man, God,
do you think Echo
it.
Would die relatively soon?
Maybe. You know, yeah, I guess I don't know how long Omega would be doing it for, you know. I mean, it'd be nice to know that she's.
I think that the mission of the season, freeing the clones, means freeing Mount Tantus. I don't think it means, when it comes to Omega, I don't think it means like, and maybe it continues after the end of the series to be more clones, but I think that that's the point of this season, is to free the clones that are trapped on Tantus.
I don't know why it hit me. This is crazy. This is a force ability that we haven't seen. I don't know. But like, what if Omega can, like, her ability is that she can just connect well with people. Like, she can, I don't know, like, through meditation, maybe she's meditating with Crosshair and, like, she, like, can like connect with his brain or something. I don't know.
No, I mean, and they have.
I guess that is a thing that all Jedi can kind of just do.
A Jedi like, can kind of do that.
I guess
she's untrained. It would be impressive if she was capable of doing.
Yeah, that's the only part that it kind of falls apart. But I would really well, like.
That's why it crazy, would be. That was why it would be a special ability.
Yeah, because I was
because
thinking
she's
of,
untrained.
Of some like Tantus situation where, you know, because in Andor, like Narkeena, it was like everyone's already like, fuck this shit. Like, they just needed that one speech, and that was kind of it. Everyone got hyped, and it was, you know, game on.
Yeah.
We're getting out of here, one way out. But I'm trying to think of what that could be on Tantus, you know. What could they go? Are they going to go over the intercom sort of thing and do that to start freeing them? Or are they just going to literally go in there and, you know, just get them on a ship and get them out? Are they going to? I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think. I mean, I would love if it was a revolutionary sort of thing, but it can't be beat for beat one way out.
No. Yeah.
So I don't think it'll be a speech. I don't think it'll be like, rise up, defeat your oppressor. Like, I mean, like, as much as I would like that storyline, it's been done, you know, and I don't think that they're going to try to duplicate it. So I think it could be a little bit more of a, you know, a secret operation. Maybe.
It's to free everyone at Tantus, though. Like, you gotta get rid of Hemlock. You gotta, like, I don't.
Oh, I don't think Hemlock makes it out of the show. I think Hemlock's like, done.
Yeah, there's not many ways to free the entirety of Mount Tantus. Like, Hemlock just has to go. Like, I don't know. He will stay there until Tantus is lost. That is his ship. Like, I'm assuming he's going down with Tantus.
Mm. I could see, the way that I could see people rising up is, see, but that doesn't make sense. They need Omega alive. So I was like, maybe some Hemlock orders the execution of Omega or something, but that wouldn't make sense for him. So it's just like, I don't know.
Does the Empire maybe, you know, bombard Tantus just like they did Kamino, but they get all the clones out just before? But why would the Empire want to destroy Tantus if it is the most important thing to them right now, you know?
Maybe they find Tantus and they broadcast its location.
Oh, fuck. The Harbinger. Like, hey, this is what the Empire's doing. Look.
Could be. I mean, that's a moment that has been repeated throughout, and I think it's an important moment to repeat, is just people announcing how fucking terrible the Empire is. You know, we got a speech at the end of season one of Rebels, where Ezra stands up and he talks to the people of, I think it's just Lothal, but maybe
Lothal.
It is
Lothal.
Maybe it is a galaxy-wide stream or whatever, but you know, I think that Omega is bound for a similar transmission. I think that that's almost certainly something that'll happen, and maybe that is an announcement as to where Tantus is and what Tantus is doing.
Okay, I think that's the point of no return. I think like that's like, because that's, we get the Harbinger and then we get the double episode after that, which is Identity Crisis and then the point of no return. I think the point of no return is them being like,
we are now enemies of the Empire whole.
We are telling the public what the Empire is doing, but in doing so, we are directly putting our targets on our head, sort of thing. And I think,
because right now they have all the resources of the Empire being thrown at them, but
the people probably won't think like do anything. I think that's what's going to happen, is the people won't do anything. This isn't enough for people to be like, oh, we will fight the Empire now and screw them, because it's like clones. And that's the sad part, is that probably most people just in the world. Okay. I don't know, in the galaxy. They'd be like, oh, they're testing on clones. That's what they did anyways to make the army. And like, I don't know. Like, is that the general
rundown? Or the people of the Republic also don't like the clones.
It's an army that destroyed the galaxy, basically. Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's not known that they have inhibitor chips. It's not known that they were made to do that. It just looks like they betrayed.
I think it's going to be like a big, hey, look, we're going to have this triumphant moment. It's this big, we're going to beat the Empire, but then it's going to like fizzle out. Like, it's going to be like, no one actually cares. So we have to keep, you know, like, mm-hmm. we have to keep the fight going.
I can see that. I would see it more as a call to action for clones everywhere. I doubt that they key in on everybody who
Pabu's just Pabu. Clone safe haven. You yeah. go to, you if you want out, you go to Pabu. If you want to stay in, you free the clones. Like that's I dig that clone revolution. You know, clone. And man, it's really sad that they age twice as fast, because that's just I'd really like to know that maybe they age twice as fast up to prime age, and then once they're there. Then they age slow? Because, like, how much time in between now and Rebels do we have?
About 15 years.
Yeah, Rex ages a lot more than 15 years, probably, it looks like.
Oh, for sure. 30
years.
Yeah,
he's aging double. Okay. Never. Yeah. Yep, okay. Nope, they still go fast.
He lives through the Battle of Endor, at least. So he'll see the fall of the Empire. It's possible for the clones to see the fall of the Empire.
That's good. That's good. Which that's all they need. That's all they need.
So that's why I'm like, I could see even a call to action to the clones on Tantus. Like, not the clones who are imprisoned, but the clones who are working there. Kind of being like, open your eyes, look at what they're doing to your brothers. We are brothers. That is what we are. And this is what we need to do, sort of stuff. And I mean, there are clones everywhere. They're obviously implementing Project War Mantle, where they're phasing out clones. But we've seen clones all over the fucking place, you know. Even still in this season. So like, I'd be willing to bet that it's more than anything, there could be a clone assault on Tantus, which would be very cool. And that's what you were saying about how people generally don't give a shit about clones. And that's, I think that would be why it's not a spark of rebellion, like amongst the people, but it is still a stand, like an act of rebellion, by clones. So I think that's the case. I think that if there's anybody who's going to liberate the clones, it's going to be the clones. And whether it's the people of Tantus, that are on Tantus or that are coming from far and wide,
totally.
I think we could see a mass insurrection against the Empire at the hands of the clones. So that's kind of what I would like to see. Now, I don't know. Maybe that's identity crisis, you know? That's a mass identity crisis for the clones. Like,
we're not people. Like, we are brothers. Yeah. Not that they're not people, but like the people aren't going to fight for them. Like, is what I'm going for away over there. And like, I think
the point of no return is them agreeing to, like, basically go forth with a mission. We still have 5 episodes after that, so who knows? Maybe not.
Six. No, I'm not. I'm not buying into it. I'm not. There's 15.
Yeah,
it's all that's on the docket. That's it. I'm trusting it until I see the fucking episode on Disney Plus. I don't give a shit.
No. I mean, I think it's an odd choice to put 15 in the last season. However, the idea previously was that, like, they'll give us a surprise episode on May the 4th. I completely forgot that that's when The Phantom Menace is coming out in theaters. That's why it's building up to May 4th. Not because of anything else. That's when there's a Star Wars movie in the movie theater. So thinking hard, what's up?
Nope. I was trying to see if there's anything that could change the Phantom, you know, like it, in the Phantom Menace could something in the Bad Batch be like, holy fuck, now I gotta see Phantom Menace. I don't, it's like, probably why not. Back then? Like, yeah, why?
A while back, a good, good 15 years or so. You know,
it would have to be with Maul. It would have to be with
all sorts of stuff. Yeah, very different.
It just doesn't, doesn't work. But
I think that it's just, I mean, it's just promotion. It's Star Wars stuff. There's Star Wars excitement. We're going to the movie theater. It's a marketing ploy. But, you know, I would love if they surprised us with a 16th episode. It's just that, I don't know, the 15th episode being titled, The Cavalry Has Arrived feels a little, that's the end. You know, that's the end. That was the first thing they say. Arrived. Wrecker says that in the first time they appear is, the cavalry has arrived. I'm pretty sure. Or maybe it's Hunter, but someone does. And it's the first three of the Bad Batch. So,
okay.
I'm willing to bet that is the end. Now the cavalry having arrived, I think will take on a new meaning, like I said, with the mass insurrection of clones is kind of how I take it. But, that's kind of what I'm anticipating. We got a lot to look forward to in the last half of the season, but, any last thoughts here?
I don't think so. Just want to make mention that those monsters are still out there that we don't know at Tantus. I think that'll come back. You know, I think we still have a bigger apex predator out there, that we have not seen yet, which will come into play when the clones attack. They'll have to fight that first, or I don't know, something, but. Yeah, other than that, I don't know. I think we got a wide range from this episode. This episode kind of covered a whole lot by not covering a whole. Like, it didn't really go. Yeah. Really just, we went on a side mission on a bounty hunting mission, but we got a kind of a clear direction of where they're going, almost. Mm-hmm. Like, it is.
A clearer direction, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why everything serves its purpose, you know? Like, this serves its purpose in that it redefines a new direction after... Mm-hmm. After all that's happened, you know, they make mention that Echo and Rex lost like a lot of their forces. They need more backup. They need more people. So like, I think that's kind of inevitable. And who knows, maybe they use the paths of resources to
Wolf. Forgot about Wolf, like kind of already making that switch. And he obviously joins the gang eventually. I think, you know, maybe like an inside job sort of thing with Wolf. Yeah. Like, we'll start there and we'll have guys on the inside and outside. Pincer maneuver. Yeah. Do it to him. But okay. Yeah. Man. I don't know.
There's a lot of potential here.
Yeah. They're still keeping me in. I was never out. But they're still keeping me in. I was I was going to do just when I thought I was out, but I was never out.
I was out.
Yeah,
they pull me back in.
Yeah,
no, it's I've been in, and I'm very excited for what for the trajectory the season's taken us on, and where it still has room to go. So, but with that, I believe we will conclude this episode of the Penny Bloom Podcast. We will be back next week with season 3, episode 9. The Harbinger, and I'm so very excited for that. That'll be next Friday. But in the meantime, next Monday, we continue our Game of Thrones rewatch podcast, Winter is Blooming, with season 8, episode 3, The Long Night. It's a big one, a very big one, and I'm so very excited to get to it.
The peak.
That is for season 8. It's all downhill from here. It is, but, this is the peak of the mountain. This is the good stuff. This is the good shit that's on Monday. And if you've watched Game of Thrones, there's no better show that we do that's better for you. That's where you need to be. So, it's been a lot of fun and I can't wait to wrap that on up. But season 8, episode 3, the next Monday, and then next Wednesday, we continue our actor spotlight for Dev Patel. And next week will bring us the personal history of David Copperfield. First viewing for both me and Joe. We're loving doing the Dev Patel spotlight. We're highly anticipating Monkey Man, and we've only got a couple weeks to go. We got Personal History of David Copperfield, we got The Green Knight, and then Monkey Man will be in theaters for us, and we'll be covering that the Wednesday after. So only 3 weeks left in the Dev Patel spotlight, and I'm very excited to be knocking that out. But yeah, with that, I was Colton Robertson. I was joined by Joseph George. Thank you very much, homie.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to have you. And remember, peace, love, and bloom. And always praise the Bad Batch.